Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On Sunday, the 6th of October, 22-year-old Hannah Leonard from Bray in County Wicklow was training for the Dublin Marathon when she was struck by a car at a pedestrian crossing on the Italian island of Sicily. Now, Hannah remains in hospital in Sicily with very serious injuries. Her father, Kevin, joins me on the line now. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Claire.
Kevin, I first of all want to ask you how you are, you and your family, because it's just over a month now since your lives were very much turned upside down by this.
Yeah, I suppose the only thing I can say is we're all still in a state of shock with it all. You know, trying to come to terms with everything in what seems like a relatively long space of time, but it's just a short space of time for us.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks. Why was Hannah in Sicily a month ago?
So Hannah had been living in Sicily since May with her boyfriend, and she'd been working in a hotel in a resort. And while she was here, she was training for the marathon. So she decided back in January that she was going to run the marathon this year. So part of that was going out for her runs in the evenings after she got home from work.
And it was on one of those runs that this terrible accident happened. She was on a pedestrian crossing, I understand.
Yeah, so she was going out for her sort of last long run, which was meant to be 35 kilometres. And it was the first time she changed up her route. And she was essentially crossing a dual carriageway with a verge in the middle of it. And she got across the first two lanes on the pedestrian crossing, then got across the third lane. And it was just as she got to cross the last lane that she got hit by a car with an 18-year-old driving, a little smart car. Was doing 50 kilometres an hour and sent her flying about 5 metres in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he did stop at the scene, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. No, so, I mean, he did stop and he hung around and the police have all his details and they've impounded his car and taken his licence. So he did stop and he did stay around and he hung around for about 2 hours after she had been taken off in the ambulance. So he did stop, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what happened then when she got to hospital? She had life-saving neurosurgery because the injury is a head injury, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was a severe head injury. She had what the neurosurgeon described as life-saving surgery, and it was the one-shot surgery, and if it didn't work, she wasn't going to make it. So thankfully, obviously, the surgery worked and she got through it, but she was in an induced coma for the first week, and now she's just in her own coma, having still not come around.
And still in Sicily, so I know she was the operation happened there, is that right?
Yeah, so she's still in the hospital in Sicily, and the hospital in Sicily has been fantastic, and the staff in the hospital have been fantastic, and they're taking amazing care of her. So she's still there, and at some point we would obviously like to move her home, but at the moment she's just not in a state to move.
Is she still in intensive care?
Yeah, so she's still in the ICU in the hospital. So it'll be, we're just waiting to see when the next surgery is, because every day changes depending on her condition. So every time we think we have a plan, the plan changes because her condition changes or something happens. So we're just waiting. The neurosurgeons are meant to be having a meeting this morning, and hopefully we'll get another update this morning as to the next steps.
So have you been out there since this happened, Kevin?
Yeah, so like I got, Cahill, Hannah's boyfriend, got the phone call from the hospital at 10 o'clock that evening on the Sunday. And then he obviously rang us straight away. So I flew straight over the next morning. And then my wife and my other two kids followed on the Tuesday. So I've been here with the exception of 2 days when I flew home to bring our other two children home, because it was getting to a stage where they need to get back to a routine and get back to some sense of normality.
Mm-hmm.
So they're back with family members looking after them now.
So tell me, like, what have they said to you there? What have the medical staff said to you about Hannah's condition?
So the term they keep using is she's very, very bad. She's very bad. We obviously have a little bit of an issue with the language barrier, although most of the surgeons speak English and most of the doctors in the ICU speak English. So, I mean, the big thing with her at the now is it's up to her to fight. It's up to her to recuperate and recover, and hopefully she recuperates and recovers. They've a couple of surgeries that they need to do, and once she's through that, it's down to Hannah. It's just a waiting game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we just have to wait and see.
And is she responding at all to you?
Every day we see something little with her. So, like at the moment when we go into her, because myself, my wife, and her boyfriend, Cathal, go into her every evening because we're only allowed an hour a day. And like, so last night, for example, when we were in with her and talking around her and talking to her and playing her messages that her friends have sent, her mouth was moving a little bit and her body was moving a little bit. So, we're sort of hopeful that that is her responding to us, but the doctors can't say for definite that that's definitely her responding to us.
But you feel there's a change there in that you're getting more now.
Every day we see something a little bit different. Last week, one of the days we were in, she was yawning when we were in with her. And again, we were sort of taking that as a positive because the first week there was no response at all. So every day we're sort of taking the little positives that we're seeing, and hoping that there are signs that she's on her way back to us.
I know that you want to get her home, and anybody would in this in the situation that you're in. But you've been very you and your wider family, you've been very complimentary about the staff who have been looking after her there. They've been really compassionate, have they?
So she has an absolutely amazing team around her, between the nurses, the ICU doctors, and the neurosurgeon team. They've just been fantastic with her. Hannah has this amazing knack of just sucking people in because she's just this wonderful human being. And even while she's not with us, the staff still seem to have all taken to her, and they're all just giving her such amazing care. Like we can't thank the staff enough in the hospital for what they've been doing for her.
But you do hope that you might be able to get her home to an Irish hospital. So I take it from what you've told us, Kevin, that you're just not sure when that can happen.
So we do want to get her home, and that's another logistic piece because we don't know if Hannah had travel insurance, and we don't have access to her phone or her laptop because we don't know her password. So we have to work off the fact that she doesn't have travel insurance, which means we have to organize all that our stuff ourselves. So we've made contact with a team in Beaumont who are willing to take her. We have to go and source an air ambulance ourselves. And then once they've done the next two surgeries and she's infection free, we would hope to get her home. But having a time frame on that is very difficult because, like last week, she got a small bacterial infection in her cerebral spinal fluid, which meant they couldn't even look at doing the next surgery, which is to replace the piece of skull that was removed. And once that infection goes, they can then look at doing the cranioplasty to replace the piece of skull. And then she needs to be infection free for a couple of weeks. And then we might be able to get her home.
All
So
right.
ideally, yes, we get her home.
And all of this explains why the people around you, your family and friends, are fundraising, because you'll need to raise funds, will you, for that air ambulance in the first
We
place?
need, yeah, we need to raise funds for the air ambulance, and we don't have any idea how much anything is going to cost. There'll obviously be a case with the car insurance company at some point, but that could be a year, it could be 2 years. We just don't know. So in the short term, we need to get her home, and an air ambulance isn't cheap, as we've been seeing. But then, like, we need to get physios and occupational therapists, and it's going to be very expensive. And we have no idea of what those costs are going to be at the moment.
But you are a number of weeks away from that, it sounds.
So even best case, and she had the cranioplasty this week, it's probably a minimum of 2 weeks after that before we could look at getting her home. And that's if she doesn't get an infection in the meantime, because infections are quite common with people that have had brain surgery. So it's just keeping the fingers crossed that all the ducks line up and everything works in her favour.
You said she has this knack of drawing people to her. And I think people, anyone who looks at why Hannah was planning to run the marathon, would just see that she had that magnetism about her, the way she explained her reasons for doing the marathon, Kevin. You might just tell people why she'd signed up.
So Hannah came in and announced to me in January that she was going to run the marathon, and she started training back in January for it. And there was a couple of reasons. One was I ran the marathon 10 years ago to this year, raising funds for Purple House Cancer Support in Bray, because they had supported my mother when she was going through cancer, and Hannah and my mom were like best buddies. They were as thick as thieves together. So Hannah was running the marathon to raise funds for Purple House Cancer Support, in honor or in memory of my mom as well. So there were a couple of reasons for it. So she had been fundraising for them, obviously, up until the accident.
Kevin, I'm sorry. I know it's really tough for you to talk about this. And I know that your brother said that she would be devastated when she finds out that she missed the Dublin Marathon?
Oh, she will, because like she was, as strange as it sounds, she was so excited about doing it and running it in mum's honour. So she will be absolutely devastated. Now, the marathon organisers and my sister pulled a little thing out of the bag first, and that we were still able to get her race number and her race t-shirt. So that was just a little bit of a positive out of it. And my sister, when she went in to collect her own stuff for the marathon, because my sister and my niece were doing the marathon, managed to get her race pack, which was a little consolation to her not being able to do it.
Yeah. The support, I know you've had great support from friends and family back home, and I'd say you need every bit of it, don't you?
Oh, the support has just been extraordinary. My brother, who lives in Qatar, flew out to us in Sicily for a week and a half to help us. My two sisters, whether it's looking after our animals between the dog and the birds, and looking after our other two children, and picking my car up from the airport, because when I came over here, we didn't know the extent of the injuries. We didn't know how long she was going to be in hospital. So the family and friends have all just been amazing.
Well, look, we wish you well. I know you know you have a tough road ahead of you, and probably a long road as well. But we hope in the coming weeks we'll be hearing that she's getting home, you know, that you can bring her home, because that's priority number one, isn't it?
That is the next step, if from our perspective, once she gets through everything, is to get her home. Because if nothing else, she'll be around people who are speaking English. She'll be close to home. We can get family and friends in, because having family and friends around her and talking with her are all big parts of the recovery process. So getting her home will be the next big step for us.
All right. Well, Kevin, we'll keep in touch, and we wish you well, you and Vanessa, and of course, Hannah and the rest of the family as well. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks for the time, Claire.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.